God is good. I'm telling you. You know, the Spirit reveals things to come, doesn't He? You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit is so cool. And there's so many things that He tries to express to us, and He gives it to us in sometimes multitude arenas.
Amen.
You know? It's like, man, sometimes it's so overwhelming. It's like, wah, wah. You know? And sometimes it's sometimes the most simplest thing. And sometimes the most simplest thing can be the most difficult thing. You know, because we might take it to be such a simple thing that we, okay. But the next thing we know, we're attacked with that arena of that we just assumed it was simple, and it became bigger than we realized. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
So the Spirit is always telling us things to come. Amen? And one of the things that's happening right now is, let's just go to this scripture. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Glory to God. Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Matthew 19 and verse 1, Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that He departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them there. Praise God. The Pharisees also came to Him. Now wait a minute, the Pharisees didn't come to get healed. They came to what? Test Him. Glory. And saying to Him, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? You know how these Pharisees are, you know. See, they thought they knew it. They knew the Word inside out. And they came to test Jesus. See, there was a controversy because of these two sects that were trying to... One was saying, well, you know, you can divorce for any reason. The other one was saying, well, you can divorce if you get caught in fornication and all this other stuff. So they're actually trying to draw Jesus to be on one side or the other. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus, you know, who created wisdom, who is wisdom Himself, He answered and said to them, Have you not read that He who made them at the what?
Beginning
made them what?
Male
and female. So Jesus established what marriage should be. Hello? He established what marriage should be. Not male and male or female and female. He established that it should be a male and a female. From the beginning. And said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, now let me say this, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now I want you to understand something. That's what's happening in this country right now. Hello? That's what's happening right now in this country. Remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood, are we? We are fighting powers of darkness. See, the powers of darkness, if you'll turn to me to Genesis, chapter 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Lord wants us to be aware of what's happening. You know, there are actually in certain areas of this country, they are being disobedient to the law and continuing to marry gays. You know, and they're going to continue to get married and so forth. And when it comes time to bring this all up and change the, or actually enforce the law,
and how it was originated, they're going to find that all their marriages will be annulled. Because we are in the days of Noah.
Amen.
And in chapter 3 and in verse 14, the Lord said to the serpent, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity, which means hatred, between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So the serpent, the powers of darkness, knew that seeds would come into the world. Amen? See, seeds are produced by marriage. If the devil can produce male and female, there will be no more seeds coming into the world.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? The devil is not stupid. The Bible says he's the most cunning beast there is. In fact, right now, even today, hey, even in the body of Christ, divorce rate is up big time. It's basically no different than the secular. It's a terrible thing. Now, we know God hates divorce, right? And the purpose of that is because he hates families being broke up. The only reason why people get divorced is because they don't have the right relationship with the Lord. Bottom line. See, if you're not married to God, you can't be married to one another.
Amen.
Amen? They may think they have, some of them think they have a hunky-dory marriage. But in the end, they're going to find it wasn't so good. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Praise God. Would you turn to Genesis chapter 1? He's trying to destroy families and come against the seeds that will come forth. Now, we're talking not only physical, but we're talking spiritual.
Amen.
Amen. Even women that are pregnant, there's abortion, isn't there? So even the destruction of unborn children is preventing seeds from coming in. If you think about how many seeds have been killed, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And if any of us in this room has been a part of someone that's been an aborted child, you need to repent to God so the blood's off of your hands. Because you'll stand before him one day and say, you know what? The blood will be on your hands for a child that was killed. Amen?
Amen.
If you know someone that's pregnant and you haven't shared with them, listen, man, you know, and they're considering abortion, you need to go to them and say, listen, don't abort that child. There are many families who will take that child.
Amen.
Amen. That could be the next Moses coming in, right? You don't know what's what. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, and the Lord God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And there are a lot of creeping things on this earth, isn't there? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Now he created, first person he created was Adam, wasn't it? So Adam was actually created in the image and likeness of God. As male, female, not with gender, you know what I'm saying, but as for character, character of a mother, character of a father. Adam was birthed with that. He was created with that and instantly by God, wasn't he? Amen? And go to Genesis chapter 2. In verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. See, he wanted to surprise him. He put him to sleep. And he brought her to the man. Amen? And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. See, so God separated man from woman, didn't he? He took woman out of man, and they became partners. See, that's why when a man leaves a father and mother and becomes one with his wife, it's reestablishing what God created man for. Amen. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Well, don't everybody leave here and dry out and go out and get married tonight, all right? It's not time. It's got to be God's timing. You know? Anyway. And verse 24. Therefore, man shall leave his father. His father was the first one. Why? Because Adam was father, wasn't he? And mother. Then the mother came. And they shall be and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Hallelujah. So there was our first parents. Our first spiritual parents. And that's what I want to talk about, spiritual parents. Amen. Spiritual parents are essential. One of the things the devil wants to do is prevent us from fulfilling the place to be spiritual parents. Does everybody understand that? I thank God for spiritual parents. I thank God for spiritual mothers like Mom and Letha and others that are out there and mothers that are walking well with God and sharing with their children. But you know, everything starts in the home. Children go astray because mom and dad ain't right.
Amen.
I went astray. The Word tells us in Hosea 4:6, because you've forgotten my law, I'll reject your children. Amen? Now, parents can be living together and the children still go astray because they're not doing the things according to the will of God. Some parents are still trying to buy their children. Some of them never gotten spanked when they need to get the soul slapped out of them. Amen? Some of us were brought up that way. That's why we could never submit. Things were handed to us. Parents are now trying to become friends with their children instead of being parents to them. Amen? The Bible says, take a rod to them. Don't worry, you won't kill them. Although there are some of them trying to kill their kids these days. But that's demonization, because they don't have a relationship with the Lord, do they? Amen?
Amen?
So it goes back down to each everyone's individual to have a relationship with the Lord. That's where we're married first.
Amen.
Is everybody with me? Now one of the things the devil's trying to do is prevent and stop spiritual parenting. Has everybody got it? He's trying to stop there. And he's doing a good job of it. He's doing a very good job of it.
Amen.
But you know what? We can change things around. All of us in this room can change it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, and this is something I've shared before. The Word tells us that we become adopted by God, don't we? We are adopted children. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for parents that adopt. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we need more believers in the body of Christ to adopt more children. We wouldn't be in such a mess. Hallelujah. So we're to leave a father and mother and become spiritual parents. See, the whole thing is starting a relationship with the Father, isn't it? Jesus gave us a prime example of a relationship with the Father. Go to Genesis 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
Didn't have far to go. In verse 20. And Adam called his wife name Eve because she was the what? The mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So the Lord killed an animal and clothed them because they blew it, didn't they? They sinned, they associated with the presence of darkness. They bit the bait. They transgressed. They brought an iniquity on them which came down the family line. Remember we talked about inheritance of things. You are what you have inherited. Thank God for the blood where we can come out of all that stuff. And by confession and change things around. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So mom and dad got thrown out of the garden for disobedience. And we picked up one of those characters called rebellion. Hallelujah. I want to do what I want. So Eve was the mother of all living, right? Now the Lord had to kill an animal to bring back reconciliation. It was a sign of forecoming of the Lord having to kill his own son to reconcile man. Is everybody with me? Go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Glory to God. Is everybody there? That's good. Quick tonight. Praise God. In Matthew chapter 15. Verses 1 through something. 4. And the scribes and the Pharisees, there they are again, you know, always trying to test you. Who were from Jerusalem came to see Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions?" Boneheads. "For what God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." That's pretty powerful. Now he's not just talking about physical mom and dad. He's talking about spiritual. And this is where we must be careful. Now, the world has a tradition of doing what it wants to do. Remember, disobedience is sin, isn't it? Sin brings a curse brings judgment of God. And that's what the devil's trying to do, isn't he? So we see here that the Lord says that you and I are to honor our mother and our father. That's where things begin to manifest in our life. Not being able to honor our overseers. Our mother, our father, whether it be physical or spiritual. Dishonor is sin. And one of the things the devil is trying to do is bring dishonor to us, to defile us and disqualify us, so that you and I will not fulfill the position of a spiritual parent where you and I can birth things and have offsprings. Is everybody with me? The devil wants to do us to a place where there is spiritual abortion. Spiritual abortion, that's how he tries to move us out of position, doesn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. But the Lord said, "Honor your mother and your father." Go to Genesis 4. Genesis chapter 4. Now Adam knew Eve and his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought an of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Now one of the things that happened here is the reason why the Lord did not accept Cain's offering is because he dishonored his mother and father. The reason why he dishonored his mother and father is because he was making a defile offering. See, God showed them what to offer when he killed the animal in the garden. Because life of the flesh is in the blood. Cain chose not to honor that. Does everybody understand that? So you got to understand that after these years, you know, mom and dad would be offering up an animal. Cain chose not to offer up the animal. He chose to be dishonorable to his mother and father. His spiritual mom and dad. His physical mom and dad. And the Lord did not accept that offering from him because it was bringing dishonor to them. Now I want to understand something and how it goes down the line. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen?" In verse 7. "If you do well, you will you not be accepted." In other words, if you correct it. If you correct it, then you'll be accepted. In other words, make the right offering. Honor your mother and your father, which you've learned from them, and it will be accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, or the presence of evil lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. In other words, you're going to be enticed to do your own thing to dishonor your mother and your father. Now listen. Who taught Adam and Eve how to offer the right offering? God. So when you dishonor your mother and your father, physical and spiritual, who are you dishonoring?
God.
Amen. You know, people don't look at that, do they?
Amen.
They just outright rebel and whatever and just, hey man, I don't care. But they don't realize that a curse comes upon them. A curse comes. Some of us are in positions because of that. Some of us are still reaping because of dishonor of mother and father. In fact, do you remember we had a woman come in who had to repent for dishonoring her mother and her father, even though she was dishonored herself and abused by one of her parents. You still must forgive. Because you're a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
Unforgiveness keeps you in the old state. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Obviously he didn't forgive him, even though he didn't do anything. But he still held a grudge, didn't he? He had jealousy. Why? Because God accepted his brother's, but not his own. That's all he had to do is make the choice and do the right thing, didn't he? But he chose not to. So he chose to try and wipe it out of the way. We have a tendency to try and stuff it underneath the rug. Yeah, man, I'll take care of it later. Yeah, I'll just cast that down and not take care of it. And we keep tripping over it and tripping over it. Some of us have been married before and so forth and can't forgive our ex-spouses. Can't forgive people who've stolen from us or abused us or whatever. That needs to be brought forth and dealt with. Or it'll be a stumbling block. Amen? Because you're dishonoring your heavenly parents, your father. Amen? God Almighty. Oh, hallelujah. Then the Lord God said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Wise guy, huh? And he said, "What you have done, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." So now you are what?
Cursed.
Hello. Now you're cursed. Okay, you didn't do the right thing. You chose to do the wrong thing. And you dishonored your mother and your father. and you dishonored God Almighty, and the curse came. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. And you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Praise God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, before we go any further, I want you to understand something. What just manifested was spiritual abortion. Does everybody see that? What happened? Cain killed Abel. He prevented the righteous seed to go forward, didn't he?
Amen.
Spiritual abortion. And that's what the devil wants to do with us and with this country. How can a child grow up and say, hi, I have two moms or two dads? It kind of blows my mind. Hi, I have... Well, which one's your... Bring your parents to the school play. Hi, this is my dad and dad. Hi, this is my mom and mom. Whoa. Well, you're not blessed because you got two of the same. You're cursed. And the child's going to grow up and not want to produce seed. Does everybody got it?
Yes.
Spiritual abortion has just manifested. And they're allowing these couples, I mean by two, to take in children to stop the seed from coming. And they think that they're helping kids. They're deceived themselves. They're preventing the seed from going. Has everybody got it? I mean, they allow it. They promote it in the schools, don't they? You can't go in there and tell people about Jesus, but you can tell them about how to live together with the same sex. Do you understand where we're at? You've got to know this stuff. So you've got to be able to see in the spirit realm of what's going on. Because what is manifesting in the physical realm of those associated spirits in the natural realm. I mean, in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Glory to God. In verse 19. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Thank you, Jesus. See, you don't have to prove yourself. God already knows who you are. When you got to prove yourself, you usually step over your own feet. So many people are trying to prove who they are instead of be who they are. Glory to God. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. This blows my mind about that these preachers and these people are going to church and wanting to get married of the same sex, and they're doing it. And some of these preachers, that you know why? They don't even know the Word of God. They have no reverence or fear. You know what? They don't have a relationship.
Amen.
They have no relationship. They have a form of godliness and deny the power. They may wear a white collar, but they're going to be wearing a loose. Because my Father won't put up with it. They will stand before God and say, Lord, Lord, I did this and I did this. And I married those two demons for you. And He said, depart from me, I don't know you. And verse 20, read it with me. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. That's all Cain had to do. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for what? Every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Glory to God. That way you can become vessels of honor. Let me tell you, when you honor your mom and your dad and your true father, you become a vessel of honor.
Amen.
You become a vessel of honor. Go to Malachi 1. Malachi chapter 1. Praise be to God. Malachi chapter 1. In verse 6. Is everybody there? Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. Would you read it? A son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? Ooh, God wants honor, doesn't he? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Thus says the Lord of hosts, to you priests, are we all priests?
Amen.
Amen. Who despise my name, you, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? In other words, we're not giving the fullness to him. We're giving part. We're giving cheap to him. We're not giving truly to him what he's requiring. That's what happened to Cain, didn't it? He wasn't giving, making the right offering to him. Because he chose not to. See, that's where you and I can't walk in that borderline. We're either in or we're out. We're either willing to do whatever it takes and willing to become his sons and daughters and never even consider to go back again, or we'll bring dishonor to him. And we'll become a vessel of dishonor instead of honor. Is everybody with me? And what does he say? He says, offer it then to your governor. Offer it to the world. Would he be pleased with what you got to offer? Would he accept it? Accept you favorably, says the Lord. So he says, bring it to the world and see what they got to say. They wouldn't accept it either. But far be it that you'd stand before me and the things that we do and offer up praise, offer up offerings of any sort,
Amen.
But yet not be right with him. And not be right with him. That is dishonor. You know, even when I was out using and abusing, man, I wouldn't go into no church with dope on me. I had some kind of reverence to that degree. I wouldn't go in there high. I didn't want to go into a church high. No. I'd wait till after. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. Praise you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11. Oh, praise you, Lord. Is everybody there? And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's powerful. For the work of ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means the anointing of God. that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, there's so much New Age stuff. There's so much offshoots of truth out there. It's phenomenal. People get caught up in all kinds of stuff. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. Everyone must do its share, right?
Amen.
You know, there's a lot that don't want to do their share. And you gotta work extra hard because they won't.
Amen.
Hallelujah. According to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So God establishes offices in His body to raise us up with truth, not to be caught up with worldly knowledge. Because worldly knowledge produces rebellion, disobedience, strife, and dishonor. Hello. Let me say that again. Worldly knowledge produces rebellion, disobedience, strife, and dishonor. That's the carnal mind. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. Worldly knowledge produces rebellion, disobedience, strife, and dishonor. That's why even people, they try to read the Word of God with worldly understanding.
Amen.
They become religious. And they become rebellious, disobedient, and cause strife. And they become a vessel of dishonor, don't they? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Glory to God. In verse 14, I do not write these things. Now this is Paul writing to his church in Corinth. He says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. Oh, there's a lot of preaching. There's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of evangelizing, but there's not enough fathers. There's not enough fathers. Why? Because that's the family, isn't it? People are caught up in the independent spirit. Even in the body of Christ. You know, they're caught up in an independent spirit. People are doing their own things. Well, this is what I believe God is telling me to do. Well, that's why God put offices in the body of Christ, so we can get confirmation. Amen?
Amen.
But Paul said, you know, there's a lot out there who's preaching and teaching and so forth, but there's not enough fathers. God wants to raise up fathers. He wants to raise up spiritual parents.
Amen.
So the children can be birthed in the Spirit and go forth to do the will of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Oh, hallelujah. Where are we? Let's see. Where are we? 16? Thank you. Oh, let's read 15 again. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful what? Son in the Lord. Who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in the church. So what was Paul saying? He said, listen, I birthed Timothy through the truth. Amen? Timothy, I got a pastor who calls me Timothy. Everybody, if you've ever heard of Benny Hinn, And his right-hand man was a gentleman, Pastor Fred. And when I got saved, the Lord brought me underneath that ministry. And me and Pastor Fred, of course, he thought I was a little whippersnapper. And I was. But, you know, through the truth and through things and experiences and teachings and comfort and guidance and so forth, I became one of his spiritual sons. And so when we talk to each other, he calls my house and he says, "Hey, it's Timothy." I'm thinking, "Who's this?" And I go, "Oh, yeah, okay, all right." I forget, you know. I said, "Hey, what's up, Dad? What's going on?" You know. And God wants us to have a spiritual family. Now, we've talked about inheriting of spiritual families or spiritual fathers that have come down the line. Amen?
Amen.
And it's important that we have spiritual families, spiritual mom and dads that can counsel us, that can help us and direct us. Especially, you know, some of us that even had families. Some of us never even knew what it was to be loved by a mother or a father.
Amen.
You know, and only in Christ can you receive that love.
Amen.
And only in Christ can you give that love.
Amen.
And that's what one of the main breaches that's going on, because the devil attacks these children so that they absorb rejection, so that they absorb abuse and abandonment. And then what they do is their heart gets so hardened, they can't even receive love. They've been tossed around from place to place. I was talking to one of my sisters in Christ today, was telling me about a 4-year-old boy that, you know, they had this kid so medicated, and I think God put her in this place to be able to change some things around, but she's got to be careful. And she got a new job, and it's helping children, which is powerful, because I know God is directing a lot of things. And she was telling me about this 4-year-old kid, man. I mean, it just started tearing me up. This started yesterday. And so I woke up this morning and praying and stuff. And they had this little boy, lost mom and dad and whatever. He's got a sister. They separated the sister and brother. And you know, they got this kid so medicated, they over-medicated him. So now they took him off the medication because of our sister in Christ who's there. And she knows that the kid's just got a demon. So he's been shipped around from place to place. How is that kid going to receive love? He may receive carnal love. Do you know what I'm saying? But until the love of Christ touches that heart, that child will be spiritually aborted. Does everybody understand it? Hey, listen, that's why God is raising us up, so we can rescue those who've been spiritually aborted and raising them from death to life.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, there's more to this than you realize.
Amen.
It's not just for us.
Yes. Praise God.
Oh, to God be the glory. Let's go to Malachi 4. Malachi chapter 4. You know, it's amazing, and it's the innocent children that are the hurt ones. Malachi 4. I think the body of Christ should go empty out every orphanage and bring them home.
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes! Malachi chapter 4 and verse 4. Would you read it with me? Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a what?
Curse!
Well, what's he doing? He's reestablishing spiritual families. He's reestablishing spiritual parents, isn't he? And it starts with the father as the head, isn't it? Hallelujah. Restoring them. Remember, the law is a representation of the tutor, and the spirit is the representation of the mentor. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. So the spirit of Elijah will come, and we know that he has come already. 2 Kings chapter 2. And verse 11. Now Elisha was a spiritual son of Elijah. And in verse 11 it said, "And it happened as they continued on and talked, and suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with the horses of fire, separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out," what? "My father, my father."
Amen.
The chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he also took up the what? Mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he continued on to fulfill his father's call.
Amen.
Has everybody got that? Father, father. Paul said there's not enough fathers. Many preachers and teachers, but there's not enough fathers. Only God can give you that heart. And you got to ask for a father's heart. See, but when you have fellowship with the Father's heart comes.
Amen.
Amen. Because you're an offspring of the Father, aren't you?
Amen.
Hello? Well, go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. But there are those who are claiming to be spiritual fathers that are abusing their children. It happened to me. I was brought into a ministry where I was told I would have a spiritual father. And I had to eat the meat and throw out the bones. And when I left that ministry and the Lord shared with me down the road, "You can't go any further until you make amends, because you cannot dishonor your father." And when he shared that with me, I was in a restaurant. Next thing I know, he walks in. And God made way. I said, "Thank you, Lord. Keep bringing them across my path. Anyone that what you put over me that I was offended by or whatever, or something happened, I want to be totally healed. I want to bless them and whatever." And I got to sit and talk with him and whatever. And it was over with, and I left.
Amen.
Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
And I love him too.
Amen.
Remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood.
Amen.
It was just the devil using him to get to me. He was trying to cause spiritual abortion on me.
Yes.
Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
But he didn't, the devil did not win that battle. He lost. Matthew 11 and verse 11. Would you read it with me? "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And if you are willing to receive," Jesus said, "John the Baptist, he is Elijah who is to come." Now remember, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. We just read in Malachi that God was going to send his messenger, right? And Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers and the children. So John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah as the messenger to turn the hearts back from the fathers to the children. And who preceded John?
Jesus.
Oh. Go to Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 6. Isaiah 9 verse 6, read it with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no one upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This was talking about Jesus coming. So who's Jesus? He's the Father. Remember, Elijah went before him. Why? To turn the fathers and the children back to the Father. That's why Jesus said, if you see me, you see who?
The Father.
Oh, hallelujah. So if you're the offspring of Jesus, who are you? You're one of the fathers to be birthed or one of the mothers. Do you understand that? God wants to reestablish his family. But the devil's going to try and abort you. That's his job. Oh, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Man, if they would have preached this when I was young, growing up in the church, things would have been a little bit different. Maybe my parents would have got convicted and chose the right thing when they took me on church on Easter. Or Christmas. But praise God. Hallelujah. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any snatch them out of my hand. Of course, you know that there's a stipulation on that. You got to stay in his hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. But we walk away from his hand, don't we? I and my Father are one. Yes. I and my Father are
one.
That's why Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. John 6. John chapter 6. Glory to the Lamb. John chapter 6 and verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says, I have come down from heaven? Hallelujah. How many times have you been, you know, people look at you like, aren't you such and such kid? Man, I know you from before. Since when have you been so self-righteous? What, do you want those holy rollers? You want those Jesus freaks? What, you turn from drugs to Jesus or from whatever? You just turn around and say, come out. That's all, and leave. Yeah. Just say, come on. Environment. Jesus therefore answered and said to him, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Remember, Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. He came in his Father's name. He was proving, letting them know that he was the Father. But he prayed to the Father to give me and you an example of submitting to a spiritual father. Amen. He was submitting to a spiritual parent. And Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 5. Is everybody there? And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be what? Seen by men. And surely I say to you, they have their reward. What? Being seen by men. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to who? Your Father. Who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you what? Openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. That's where you trust, isn't it? You got to trust Him. Jesus was the prime example of how you and I ought to walk. Go to John 15. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 15. Starting at verse 1. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
Read it with me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. So you're all going through some pruning.
Amen.
So you can bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
I am the
vine. I am the what? And you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Now that's where that prayer comes in effect, man. If you got stinky fruit, you're not abiding. You're not going to your heavenly Father in prayer. And that's one of the great things the devil will prevent you from doing. He'll get you so caught up in thinking that you're doing good works, but you're not going to the Father. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my what?
Disciples.
My disciples. Hallelujah. Go to John 8. Verse 39. John 8 and verse 39. And they answered and said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, is everybody there? If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why you do not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the what?
The devil.
Hallelujah. You're going to have one father or the other.
Amen.
And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Yow. Yow. And that's very powerful. He's saying, you know, what father are you serving? What spiritual parents are you under? You know, some days we can be under the right ones and the next days we want to be under the wrong ones. But that's where we must go to prayer every morning. We must go to prayer. So we can start under the right one. Or you end up under the other one during the day. Go to Proverbs 4. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4 or 5 or 6. Well, we'll start at 1. Read it with me. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve her. Love her, and she will keep you. That's powerful. Talking about spiritual parents. Amen? Spiritual parents. He calls the mother wisdom, doesn't he? To her. Of course we know it. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she'll promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 5. Praise God. There ain't nothing like a spiritual Joe Mama. And a Joe Papa.
Yeah.
First Timothy chapter 5.
Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus stands in the gap for us. Amen?
Amen.
He intercedes for us. You know, parents intercede for their children, don't they? Amen. First Timothy chapter 5. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Verses starting at 1. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a what?
Father.
Younger men as what?
Brothers.
Older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show pity at home and repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Fathers and mothers. It talks about honoring them again, isn't it? Amen? Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 3. Praise God. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Is everybody okay?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Would you read it with me? For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons or daughters. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. So listen, you're going to get it. You're going to get it when you get home. Well, you're going to get it. All of us get it. We all get chastened by the Lord. We all get a Holy Ghost whipping. Amen? Some people run from it. What it does is it brings the garbage up so that you and I can repent. And verse 7, read it with me. It says, if you what? Endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more rather be subjection to the Father of the spirits and live? Hello. Yeah, I think we should. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we will be chastened, won't we? How we must be chastened so we can fulfill also to become spiritual parents ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 1 through 4, would you read it with me? And Paul writes this letter to the church. He says, oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to what? One husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Hello? That's the ultimate, isn't it? That's it. That you and I may be presented to Christ as a chaste virgin. In other words, pure and clean from the world. Unspotted. That's the purpose why Jesus came. That he may present me and you to his Father. That's why God has spiritual fathers in the body of Christ, that they may present us to Christ as a virgin and clean, unspotted from the world. Verse 3. He says, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, hello, that demon of rebellion, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. You know what? We're supposed to discern, right? We're supposed to discern. And we should. But Paul was warning them. He says, listen, I'm going to present you to Christ as a chaste virgin. Receive the chastening of the Lord. Paul said, listen, it's not me, but him who lives within me. Well, what you hear doesn't come from man, but what you hear comes from your Father.
Amen.
You know, people are always looking at man. Now you can tell the difference, can't you? Amen. That's why the Bible tells us that a son will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That's what Christ is going to do. You and I are going to be chaste virgins presented to Christ. Amen. We will be the bride and he will be the bridegroom. Let's close at Romans 13. So don't get spiritually aborted so you can't fulfill your spiritual parenthood.
Amen.
God is counting on you.
Amen.
And honor those who are your spiritual parents. Or you'll get a curse. Romans 13 and verse 11. Would you read it with me, please? And do this knowing the time, that now is a high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts that will spiritually abort you. Amen?
Amen.
Let the seed grow and bear fruit for His glory. He is the true seed. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I pray discernment to each and every one in this room. Lord, knowing that not only do we not fight flesh and blood, and that we're to keep ourselves, but Lord, that Your will is that we become spiritual parents.
Yes. Yes.
That we become spiritual parents.
Yes.
That we may present them to You as a chaste virgin.
Yes.
And that they become vessels of honor for Your glory. Lord, let this seed grow and bear fruit for Your glory in each and every one here tonight. I pray a seriousness be imparted in each and every one.
Yes, Father.
God is no respecter of person nor age. But let Your anointing rest upon each one here tonight, Lord. Continue to visit all of us with dreams and visions. And when we begin to lack in our relationship with You, Lord, we ask that You'll bring light, bring thirst and hunger. We want more of You. We want to please You, and we want to fulfill Your will, expand Your kingdom, and bring glory to Your name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.